जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। So for the benefit of all new and old, because even the ABCs of Krishna consciousness are always applicable to our spiritual lives, so this, I'm speaking from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 16, wonderful, very philosophical verse that Krishna speaks to Arjuna. About the nature of the soul, the nature of the soul. So I'll just chant it. I won't expect any repeats. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayor api drishtontas tvanayos tattvadarshibihi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Purport. There's no endurance of the changing body, that the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science, and thus growth and old age are taking place in the body. But the spirit soul exists permanently remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever changing and the soul is ever eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. In the Vishnu Purana 2.12.38, it is stated that Vishnu and his abodes all have self-illuminated spiritual existence. Jyotim Shri Vishnur Bhuvanani Vishnu. The words existent and non-existent refer only to spirit and matter. That is the version of all seers of truth. This is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Removal of ignorance involves the reestablishment of the eternal relationship between, sorry, I don't have my glasses, between the worshiper and the worshipable, and the consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself. The difference between oneself and the Supreme Being being understood as the relationship between the part and part and the whole. In the Vedanta Sutra, as well as the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. The living entities belong to the superior nature, as it will be evident in the seventh chapter. Although there is no difference between the energy and the energetic, the energetic is accepted as the supreme, and the energy, or nature, is accepted as the subordinate. The living entities, therefore, are always subordinate to the Supreme Lord, as in the case of the master and the servant, or the teacher and the taught. Such clear knowledge is impossible to understand under the spell of ignorance, and to drive away such ignorance, the Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment of all living entities for all time. And the verse again is, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Jnanam Jina Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada says here, this is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living entities, to all the living entities. And living entities, of course, there are different varieties, different grades, different life forms. But specifically, the human form of life is the best position, the best means for understanding spiritual subject matter. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna was a human being. He didn't speak to a dog or a cat or bird. Although in Vedic times, sometimes even those living beings were highly conscious and could interact and communicate as well. But in general, the principle is that the human form of life is meant for inquiry. The human form of life is meant for inquiry. Otherwise, particularly spiritual inquiry, otherwise the tendency is that we fall into this rut of material existence. Day in and day out, going to work, raising our families. Specifically, I'm talking about those who are not devotees, but in Krishna consciousness. But material life is a very difficult struggle for existence. Very difficult struggle for existence. And as one gets old, it does not become easier. They refer to, in America at least, old age as the golden years or the silver years, as if there's some kind of great status or experience you'll have in your retired state of life after you've worked for 50 years and you're 65, 70 years old. But as it happens, by that time, your physical body is no longer even able to enjoy at the same level that you were able to as a younger person. And your youth is gone. It's stolen from you. And you retire in your home, in your house. Once in a while, you'll take a trip here or there and sit in front of the TV set and watch old movies or remember Star Wars or something like that. And that will be the last phase of your life. And then you get diseased and you become sick and ill, your body aches, you don't even want to live any longer. And I have personal experience of this because my mother is just turned 97. 97 years old. We can't imagine what it's like being 97 years old in a material body that hardly functions anymore, cannot walk, cannot hear very well, she can still see some, but aches and pains every day, sleepless nights. So this is not to scare you, but it's to scare you. Raj Vilas would say something like that. Yeah, we actually have, you know, to become very realistic. Those who are here, you know, very fortunate, we've come here to the temple, we have some inquisitiveness to find out about Krishna. This is your first time in any temple of Krishna. But mostly it looks like devotees here. But these things are there. We have to read them over and over again in Bhagavad Gita. I'm not this body. I'm not this body. I'm not this body. These ABCs are, Prabhupada is pounding them into our brains, into our mind, to wake up, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. He's calling out to us. Lord Chaitanya is calling out to us. Wake up, spirit soul. Lord Chaitanya has come and bringing the process of self-realization for this age. We can't practice yoga. We can. Some people practice yoga, but that's not the yoga, the real yoga. It's not the actual Ashtanga yoga system that's taught in the Vedic literature. But there's some kind of yoga, but that won't work. We can't be gyanis, big empiricists, speculators, and philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth by empiric reasoning power and intellectualization and study of different philosophies or the Vedas or so many books. That is not meant for this age either. Nor is it recommended karma yoga. Karma yoga means actions performed with some idea that you're not this body and offering the results of your work so that you can achieve a higher destination, ultimately becoming Krishna conscious. All these paths are there, but they are not authorized for this age. They're not authorized for this age. In Kali Yuga, the means for achieving self-realization, Krishna consciousness, is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And there are many verses to that effect, many things. But it all begins by waking up to the fact that we are not the material body, nor are we the mind or the intelligence. One of the levels of Krishna consciousness is to remove that identification also with the mind and the intellect. The mind comes up with so many things from this life, from the past lives that we have, innumerable past lives, samsara, one life after another, over and over and over again. This is all stored up in the computer of the mind somewhere. And sometimes we don't even know where thoughts come from. We don't even know where feelings come from. Thinking, feeling, willing, it's all acting like a machine. Automatic. Krishna says this body is just like a machine built of material nature. And the three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness, are literally fighting for supremacy, to control our mind, to control our consciousness, and influence us. Why is this happening? Why we're almost forced. Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it that makes us do things that we don't want to do? Specifically, he's talking about lust, but lust has so many features and levels. It manifests in different ways in the mind. Krishna says lust exists in the mind, in the intelligence, in the senses. Our entire being is contaminated by lust. So what is lust? It's the desire to enjoy. We'll break it down, the definition of lust. The desire to enjoy. And what kind of enjoyment? Separate from Krishna or God. That is lust. Prema is the desire to enjoy love for God in service to God. The exact opposite. The exact opposite. One who is in prema, love of God, he has no inkling of any lust to enjoy his material body, mind, senses. It's gone. Because he's in love with God, in love with Krishna. But it begins, I'm going to keep bringing it back to the point, it all begins first with recognizing we're not this body, we're not this mind, we're not this intellect. So how do we get beyond this bodily concept of life? We're not man, we're not woman, we're not black, white, Russian, Chinese, Indian, Hindu, Christian, Jewish. These have become designations of the body. And we identify that. We're born into a culture, we're born into a religious system with certain concepts. We have like this paradigm, this template that we're acting on automatically almost. Very difficult to get out of this cycle. Very difficult to get out of this cycle. Not just the cycle of birth and death, just the cycle of the way we think and the way we act and what we do. But that can be achieved. We need some philosophy too, but that can be achieved. We need the philosophy to understand the background of why we have to do it. But once one begins the process of overcoming these, you could say, lower forms of existence, of contemplation, of action, of thought, once one does that and follows the process, then you come to a new realm of existence. It's a new realm of existence. Krishna consciousness is an entirely new phase of existence, and we come to that by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the process for this age of Kali. In previous ages, Satya Yuga, there was meditation, Treta Yuga, there was yagyas, sacrifices. Dwapara Yuga was temple worship. And in Kali Yuga, the recommended process is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we say that. Why do we say that? Hare Krishna movement. You guys, you just tell people chanting Hare Krishna. Why? Because we follow authorities. So this is also very important. Even if you want, Prabhupada says in this purport here that both impersonalists and personalists understand that they're not the body. They all contemplate this reality. Of the non-existent, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, there is no cessation. They all know that. Anyone who's a genuine practitioner of spiritual process understands they're not this body. So they have their authorities too, to a certain degree. But in Krishna consciousness, we have authority to back up our process for this age of Kali. So what are those authorities? We'll get into this a little bit because it's important. We understand the philosophy. But who is giving us this philosophy? We have acharyas, teachers, gurus, saints, sadhus from the ancient past and in the present, recent past, and in the present right now. And this parampara, the cyclic succession of teachers, is coming one after another, giving us the authorized path, the authorized method for each age, for this age and every other age, at all times, all places, all circumstances. That's why we don't say other religions are wrong, or we're right, or we're the best, or anything. We say that every religion, every religious system has its authority, its process, based on some kind of disciplic succession of teachers. In Krishna consciousness, and even in India, there are four disciplic successions. Four disciplic successions of acharyas or teachers coming for hundreds of thousands of years. And they present the same information, unchanged, completely intact, and by their own realization and experience to the people of the time they live. And their disciples do the same thing, one after another, bringing the same knowledge from one person to another, without change, without interpolation, without speculation, perfectly presenting the same ancient, eternal truths. That's one thing to recognize when you start to understand Krishna consciousness, is this is eternal truth. It's not something that just became the truth. It's not something that somebody made up or just realized on their own. It's established eternal truth. We call it Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma, eternal religion. And Dharma has different definitions, but the main definition of Dharma is the nature of the soul. So as we begin philosophizing and understanding Bhagavad Gita and these verses, these teachings that Krishna is giving to Arjuna, we can begin to understand that there's an eternal philosophy here. My soul is eternal. I'm not just an eternal light. I'm not just an eternal energy or force. I'm actually an eternal person. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita in many different places, three, four different places, that the soul is eternally individual. In one of the previous verses in this chapter, I won't chant the Sanskrit, but Krishna says that never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So Krishna is establishing the individual nature of us, individual souls within all these different bodies, human, animal, tree, plant, bug, aquatic, whatever, the eternal soul. Never was there a time when I did not exist. Krishna says, I've always existed as a person, individual person. Never was there a time when you did not exist, nor will there ever be a time when we do not exist. But that's what we've forgotten. That's what we've forgotten. We have to wake up our memory, our consciousness, to the fact that we have always been here, eternally existing. We are not this body. We're just changing bodies. The next one of the previous verse also, I like the Sanskrit, so I'm going to say it. Dehino smin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. Even the Sanskrit is purifying to hear the Sanskrit. Shabda Brahma. That is translated as we change from childhood to boyhood or girlhood to adult to old, we pass from this body. Similarly, the soul passes into other bodies in the next life and in the life after that. And Prabhupada always used to give these examples that you once had a baby's body. All of us once had a little baby's body. This morning there was a, Prabhupada gave the class in the recording that the little baby, when he cries, you can hear him for 3 miles. The whole world becomes disturbed by the crying of a baby, Prabhupada said. So we had a body like that. It's a specific body. It could cry so loud that you could hear it for 3 miles. And then your body changed. You became a young boy or girl. And then after some years again, you became an adult man, woman. Then after some more years, you become an older man and woman. Then some more years pass, you become an old man and a woman, and then we leave the body. But you're the same person throughout all the changes of the body. You can remember some things when you were a child or in your earlier life. We can't remember our previous life, that's another discussion, but we can remember in our previous life, and then when we go on to our next body, the mind carries the concepts, the longings, the desires, the hankerings, the attachments in this life to the next one. And based on our activities and our consciousness, we get an appropriate body. An appropriate body. I'll quote another Sanskrit verse. Although the guidelines for giving classes says don't quote Sanskrit verses, but yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajat tyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever we remember at the time of death, that's the body we will take in our next life. This is Krishna teaching Arjuna. Krishna is teaching this to Arjuna. So once again, these are all, you know, if they started to teach Bhagavad Gita in the universities or colleges or gave classes, these are all the standard teachings of spirituality of Bhagavad Gita, at least according to Krishna. And Krishna is accepted as the authority by all of the previous acharyas, as he's accepted as the Supreme Personality of God, and not just an authority, that he is the source of all authorities. But this class isn't about who Krishna is, but Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is teaching Arjuna. So if we were to begin a class as we do in our temples, then these are the basic principles of spiritual life which are meant to guide us from day to day. We have this program by Vaisheshika Prabhu started in California at the temple there, CHAD, C-H-A-D, chapter a day, Bhagavad Gita, chapter a day. If you can read a chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita, this will keep your intelligence focused. It'll keep your mind, your intelligence, your consciousness focused on Krishna's teachings. Because spiritual life is difficult. It's not an easy task to come out of this sleeping state that we are in, this forgetful state that we are in. It's such a sleeping state, such a deluded, elusive state that we don't even realize we're in illusion. We don't even realize that we're asleep to one degree or another. I spoke on the other day in the Bhagavatam class, and Prabhupada, it was stated in the purport, oh no, I'm sorry, in another book that I read from, that even unconscious chanting of Hare Krishna will elevate the soul. So I've been thinking about this word unconscious. Unconscious, what does it mean, unconscious? We're all chanting Hare Krishna, but we're conscious that we're chanting Hare Krishna, but we're not fully conscious yet of our eternal identity with Krishna, our eternal relationship with Krishna, or even that I don't even understand yet I'm not this body. We're still unconscious to one degree or other, still chanting unconscious. So the more we become conscious reading Bhagavad Gita every day, a chapter a day, reading these teachings, reminding ourselves of who we are, what our path is, what our goal is, chant Hare Krishna attentively, concentratedly, it's a meditation, then we will slowly wake up from this sleep, the sleep of Maya. That's that jeev jago, go to Chandrabole. Kotan nidra jao maya pishachira kole. Pishachira means witch. So maya is compared to a witch, which puts us under a spell. It's a big spell. It's amazing how powerful maya is, the spell of illusion and maya. But it can be overcome. But it requires steadfastness and some resolve, determination, and desire. And desire. And that will all be put to the test. So I don't want to make this a class too difficult, but we will be put to a test. It's a joyful process, actually, coming here, chanting in front of the deities, Radha, Shyam, Sundar, Krishna, Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur, Nitai. It's a joyful process. Lord Chaitanya has brought by the chanting of Hare Krishna. But we are put to the test also. We have to adhere to the process and gauge our progress. Just like if you go to a doctor, if you have some disease, some sickness, the doctor will tell you what you have and what you have to do. He'll give you a prescription. And after you follow his prescription for some time, then you go back to see him, and then he tells you, yes, you're improving. Banamali Prabhu is a doctor here. he can tell you this is the process. So in the same way, we have to actually become our own doctors, spiritual doctors, and gauge our progress. We have to look at our mind, our thoughts, our lifestyle, see what to accept, what to reject, how to improve. Always, step by step, gradual process. Not all at one time, but step by step, gradual progress has to be there. We have to try to make sure that we're doing that. And it begins with understanding that of the eternal, there is no cessation, and of the non-existent, there is no endurance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, Mara?
It seems that our family needs and, you know, the physical world, you know, we have to put more concentration and attention. We hear about the spirit soul, the eternality of the soul, but it seems like the reality of life in general occupies most of our time. So how do we transfer from the material attachments and working to satisfy the family and the body and needs and how do you entertain spiritual life simultaneously?
The only word I can think of is balance. Balance. You have to balance it out. It's not either or in most people's cases. If you're raising a family, if you have children, school, education, occupation, you can't just give all that up. So there has to be some kind of balance. You have to see what you can do, what you can't do. And whatever you do, do it every day. Steadiness. Steadiness. Every day doing the same thing. If you can rise, you know, in your home situation, if you can rise early in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, if you have time to do some deity worship, otherwise just the pictures of Prabhupada and Panchatattva, your guru, chant your rounds, but do it every day at the same time. Don't lapse. Don't become lazy. Don't find excuses for not doing it. Do it every day, day after day. And try to increase it more and more. If you can't chant 16 rounds, chant 4 rounds or 8 rounds every day. And read Prabhupada's books. But what's the alternative? If you don't do it, you stay asleep. I have to make the time, somehow or other, I have to make the time. And take prasadam, yes. And come to the temple. And find some service that you can do at the temple. You know, they have lots of pots to wash after the Sunday feast. Somebody was complaining to me the other day. There's nobody to wash the pots. That's what I did when I first coming to the temple. I was still in high school. I was 16 years old. First service, pot washing. Right, Panchagoda? Panchagoda. Pot washing, right?
Pot washing, yes.
Yeah.
You don't want to wash pots?
No, not you. If you want to, you can, but you... Pot washing. Yeah, that there's so many different services one can do. The lawns need to be mowed. The vegetables need to be cut, floors need to be swept and cleaned, all these services are there. And that's how you get Krishna's attention. That's the beginning of devotional life, is practical service. That's how you get the attention of Krishna, is through your service. Chanting is also service. It's crying for, but it's crying for more service. So without service, we don't need something practical to do for Krishna. Or if you're in college, start a bhakti yoga club. Do some kind of outreach to get to other people and distribute books, or go out on book distribution, or Harinam Sankirtan. All these, so many things. The Prabhupada made so many arrangements for us. Anybody else have a question? It says in the guidelines for giving classes on Sunday not to promote projects. With your permission, I'll say something. You want me to speak or Braj Vilas? Okay. Yeah, for those of you who are not familiar, and for those who are familiar, the temple of the Vedic Planetarium is Srila Prabhupada, probably Srila Prabhupada's most ambitious project and desire. Not one of them, but the most important project for ISKCON. Why is that? There's so many temples, aren't they important? Yes, they're all important. But Mayapur is the world headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, number one. Actually, I wrote an article on our website, TOVP website, 12 reasons why we need to build the TOVP. So you can read. I won't remember them all. But Mayapur is the world headquarters. Number two, it's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the birthplace of the most munificent incarnation of Krishna, who appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. How many days, how many years are there in a day of Brahma? Is it 311 trillion? Right? Once in 311 trillion years, Lord Chaitanya appears. 500 years ago, this is his birthplace. Number three, Prabhupada told us to build it. He told us, if anybody says, why are we building, why are you spending so much money, you're so much time asking for money all the time, what? Prabhupada told us we follow the orders of the spiritual master. Doesn't matter whether we like it, don't like it, want to, don't want to. It's the order of the acharya, not just a guru, another guru. It's the acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in 12 years, single-handedly writing almost 100 books and thousands of letters and over 5,000 disciples. He's the acharya. He told us to build this temple. So, now there's another reason, again, is there are so many ISKCON temples. What relationship do they have to the temple of the Vedic Planetarium? It's not, again, it's not just another project of ISKCON. The relationship is in this slogan, that by the rising of the tides, all the ships are lifted up. Right? You understand that by the rising tide lifts all the boats. So the TOVP is like the rising tide of the Krishna consciousness movement. And by the development of Mayapur in general and the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium in specifically, the tide will rise. As Prabhupada said, that what is that quote, Braj Vilas? Raise, Prabhupada said that anyway, I'm forgetting the quote, but by building this temple, all the temples will benefit. There's a spiritual principle there. It's not a mundane thing. We're not just building another material structure. It's a temple. It's not a material structure. So the connection of all the temples to the temple of the Vedic Planetarium is spiritual connection. And by building it, all the temples will benefit. And individually, all of us who are participating in the building of the temple of the Vedic Planetarium will also benefit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that if you all build this temple, Prabhupada said this, if you all build this temple, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take you all back to Godhead. Haribol. So anyway, that we're still moving forward. The grand opening will be in 2026. It's written in stone now. What? Oh. Picture, there's the picture, T-O-B-T. 2026, it'll be a 3-month festival. Not 2 days, not 3 days, 3 months long festival. Right? Great for us. Should I go on or?
That's good.
Okay.
Excuse me, Haribol, can you clarify, is it 2025 or 2026?
26. Yeah, we've had to adjust the dates occasionally due to COVID and so many things.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Piki, Jai. Yeah, the predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Nityananda and Jiva Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is asking what will happen. It is go like Prada Maya and other things. Where will they all go when this place is flooded for hundreds of years, 400 years? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, after 800 years, again the task of revealing the Dharma will begin again in earnest. And that coincides like with right now. This is the time they're talking about these predictions. It's actually right now, so there's no better place or time. And for doing service right now, this is executing the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.